If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You have opened the door for the miraculous, and now we boldly step in.
You are invited to join Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Bethel Deliverance International Church for Fall Revival 2015. Come and hear a powerful word of hope and restoration with guest speaker Dr. Mark Sharona from Church on the Living Edge of Longwood, Florida.
That word holy means totally set apart. There's nothing we have in our life experience that can relate to holiness until we have an encounter with the Holy One.
Services will take place on Thursday, October 22nd, and Friday, October 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Bethel Deliverance International Church is located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585, or visit them online at betheldeliverance.org.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
God's a killer. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the Lord killeth. He maketh alive. He brings down to the grave and he lifts up. If you don't think he is, you go back in that same book of Numbers and you find that Balaam and Balak were trying to get together to curse the people of Israel. And God said, now listen to me, Balaam. Now understand what I'm telling you. Those are my people. Now I've given you the gift of prophecy. And I'm going to honor what you say, but don't speak against them because they're my people. Balak said, I got some money, baby. I'll give you some money, a new car. I'll fix it up for you. Balaam got on the donkey and started riding down so he could get the money to curse the people of God. God says, see there, you, come over here. Alphonse, come on, make him an offer he can't refuse. He walked down, pulled his sword, and stood right in the road. God said, oh, I got too much mercy. Opened the eyes of the donkey. Donkey said, oh my goodness. Slam Balaam's leg against the wall. Balaam said, giddy up. Slammed him again, threw him off. Balaam stood up and started hitting the donkey. Donkey turned around and said, why have you hit me? If that was me, there wouldn't be a verse after that. I'll be running down the trail. Shucks, I'm out of here. Balaam talked to the donkey. He said, because you mocked me. Donkey said, how I mock you? He's having a conversation with a jackass. Now, most of us do that every day. He said, I saw what you could not see. He said, what did you see? Then God opened up Balaam's eyes. He said, oh, my goodness. The angel said, I was going to take you out. I was sent to take you out because you went against God's word and you were going to curse his people. Peter said, lay aside evil speakings, because God is watching and listening to everything. And Jesus tries to warn us. He says, you will give an account for everything you say. Peter said, lay it aside. How do you avoid falling away? Laying aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. How do we fall away? How we can avoid it is in 1 Peter 2. But what happens to make us fall away? I love this entire discourse that Jesus gives us in Luke 15. He starts out with 100 sheep, and if somebody loses one sheep, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one which was lost. And so we look at that and we wonder, how did this one get lost? Because sheep stray, sheep wander, and sheep follow other sheep. And so he starts out with this 99 sheep. Then he goes to a coin. He says, a woman in verse 7, she has 10 pieces of silver. If she loses one piece, does she not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it? If you notice in both of these instances, the sheep and the coin, someone goes after them. Why? Because the sheep is moving by intuition, and the coin has no personality at all, and it's simply misplaced. The coin is not philosophically lost. It doesn't have a brain. You've misplaced it and can't remember where you left it. Listen, when you understand why people do what they do, you will understand why God says what he says. What does he tell us? Warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and be patient with all. Listen to what that's telling you. There's only two classes of people, unruly and feeble-minded. But you're to be patient with everybody. You just warn the unruly and then leave them to God. You just be patient and God will turn the feeble-minded. You just wait. God knows. He says, he looks upon our frame and he says, we're dust. That's why he has so much compassion. That's why it seems like he's letting you get away with stuff. He's not. He's just compassionate. You are going to be shocked when you are made aware of or come face to face with the mercy of God. You are going to be shocked when you get to heaven and see the totality of his mercy. You are going, oh my God. That's why if you look in that book, he never tells you to judge anybody. He said, judge yourself. And if you judge yourself, you won't have time to judge anybody else. And so when we get to the third part of this in Luke 15, this passage in Luke 15, verse 12, is the fulfillment of 1 John 2, 15 through 17. All that is in the world, the pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, is all that the world is made up of. And for this young man to say to his father, liquidate your assets and give me my portion of the will, tells me that he has seen something that he wants greater than the relationship with his father. He would rather get his money than stay with his daddy and still have his financial blessings. Jesus said the end would not come unless there's a falling away. And so now we begin to assess that maybe he's telling us that unfortunately the new wave movement of word of faith and prosperity and over prosperity is telling us to tell God to give us our inheritance now at the expense of my relationship with you. Once again, Paul does not suggest that the falling away is equivalent to losing one's salvation, because even Jesus' assessment of this boy does not remove their relationship. But while he's in that far country, he has no fellowship. What's causing you to leave? 168 hours in a week. If you are a tither, God is owed 17 hours a week. How much time did you give him between last Sunday and this Sunday? Did you give him 17 hours? Did you give him 2 hours and 40 minutes a day? Or did you say, bless me so I can fulfill my own desires? Were you duped by Satan and say, Lord, strengthen me and bless me so I can do ministry? Well, then you're Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You are doing work for me, but you don't love me. Have you thought your love through? Or do you just want that emotion? Oh, we take vacations, and when Sunday comes, we don't even give God prayer time because we're on vacation from worship. I can understand being on vacation from your job, but how do you take vacation from worship? How do you do that? How do you tell God that I'm on vacation, so I'm not even going to get up and read my Bible? I'm not even going to give you worship time today because I'm on vacation. How do you think God feels? What about if you go to God and say, I need you to heal me? He says, I'm on vacation. I don't have time for you and your little problems today. God will not give you a job that replaces your Sunday worship time with work time. Nor will he lead you into a city before he's already told you where to go to worship. But we will chase the dollar and fall away from our relationship. God will not call you into ministry that takes away your time with him. I don't want to hear that. There's not enough hours in a day. Yes, there are. The number 24 is a perfect number. It's given by God. It's 2 12s, and 12 is God's number of completion for government. It is 3 8s. That is God's number for new beginnings. 24 is a perfect number. There are enough hours in a day. But how can you be so caught up in what you're doing that you don't have time for whom you do it? I see no one before noon. My mornings belong to God. sit at my desk and look on my computer. I'm reading my Bible. I'm getting my information. I see no one for frivolous counsel. God gets those 3-4 hours every day. How much time do you give him, or are you falling away? Pastor, you don't understand. I got to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work. Then you get up at 5 and give God time. Is he not worth it? Should he not get it? He said, well, I pray at the end of the day. Then you don't have anything left. That's why your marriage fails, because you have nothing to give your spouse, because you've given it all to church and your job. You have nothing to give to each other. Why should God get the end of our day? When you go back to the book of Genesis, he demanded the first fruit. He wants the first fruit of your day. Not what you throw him in the afternoon. Why can't you get up and give God 4 a.m.? You don't understand, Pastor. I need my sleep. Then go to bed at 8 o'clock. If God is important to you, how do you stand before the people of God and preach out the word of God and you haven't spent time with the Lord of the word? And yet we follow these presumptuous people. And people who don't spend time with God are susceptible to an Absalom spirit. And an Absalom spirit is the spirit that pulls you to the person and away from the church. Absalom went down to the city gate and said, David don't have time for you, but I do. Come bring your troubles to me. Pastor Lambert don't have time for you. I'll counsel you. I'll pray for you. I'll marry you. Pastor doesn't have time for you. Come to me. And when you find that you've stolen that person's heart, where does that come from? Because you broke relationship with the pastor. You're still functioning, but you've broken relationship or fellowship. You're still in the church, but the fellowship's gone. And when the fellowship's gone, your mission, your ministry becomes greater. When the people begin to pull at you to perform pastoral things and you welcome it, it's because the fellowship is gone. We fall away. How do we get back? That's why God created the 13th of September. And when you come back on the 13th of September, I will go over how you can stay where you should stay. Our Father, we thank you.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE, Channel 51, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH, Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.